You would have heard me talk a lot on this program about population growth for our part of the world. Huge potential for our region to capitalize, not only because of our incredible lifestyle and fantastic airport now that it's reopening, among other fantastic facilities here, but of course COVID. We knew that COVID-19 would spark a bit of an exodus from capital cities for a whole range of reasons. Well, it's absolutely fantastic now to have a chat to my next guest, because there's actually now, over the last 2 years or so, there's actually some data, some analytical trends that we can look at to see whether that hope and that potential has actually borne fruit. Now, it's fantastic to catch up with a bloke by the name of Paul Fowler. Now, Paul is with Commonwealth Bank. He's the Executive General Manager for Regional and Agribusiness Banking. And CommBank has partnered with the Regional Institute of Australia. I've spoken to the CEO of the Regional Australia Institute previously. So it's fantastic to have Paul on the line. Paul, first of all, welcome to the King Review.
Oh, thanks, Gavin. Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Now, you guys have just released the latest Regional Movers Index. Just give listeners a quick overview of what that index is all about, how it's calculated, and what it means.
Yeah, this is a really important piece of analysis in terms of mapping net migration across the country. And so what we do at CommBank is, obviously with a very significant customer base of over 10 million individual customers, we can, through our data, understand the shift in population, and we've been mapping that now together with the Regional Australia Institute for the last 12 months, and just released our December quarterly report. But the data goes back to 2016, and so we're mapping the changing shape and the trends in regional migration. And I'm really pleased to say, to your opening comments, that the rate of net migration into our regions has doubled in the period post the onset of the pandemic relative to the 2 years prior. So a huge vote of confidence in our regions and a huge opportunity that creates real optimism from our point of view in terms of the outlook for our regions.
And so what intel are you using to be able to gauge this? What sort of data of your, as you said, incredible 10 million customers across the country, what data are you actually using to be able to measure this? Because my gripe with certainly population statistics is they always lag so much. You know, the census is obviously every 5 years, and you know, the state government is just quite slack in getting really good data on that, particularly in regional populations. So what are you using to be able to put this index together?
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have such a broad customer base that really represents the Australian population. And being a bank, we need to understand where our customers are located. So all of our data is deeply anonymised. Nothing can be linked back to an individual. But through that anonymised data, we're able to see the place of residence across our customer base, and to understand when people are, you know, leaving big cities to move to the regions or vice versa. And so that really gives us a really impressive and timely blueprint in terms of the trends that are playing out from demographics.
So it's based on postcodes that users that your customers have with you?
Correct. So we focus in on a local government area basis and analyse every local government area across the country and the shift of our customers within those.
Fantastic. All right, now that we've got that overview, I was just really curious to see, yeah, how you measure it, because as you said, it's fantastic to have that timely, almost real-time data. It's absolutely fantastic, particularly for regional cities and planning and councils and whatnot. Now, Paul Fowler, tell us about some of the results in this December quarter. Let's have a look nationally first. Who were the big winners in terms of that capital city exodus? And then let's drill down a little bit into our part of the world here in North Queensland.
Yeah, thanks. And so again, the rate of migration has doubled.
Incredible, isn't it?
Since the onset of the pandemic, it is incredible, and I think a real vote of confidence in terms of the lifestyle opportunities in many regional centres, but also incredible job opportunities. We now see unemployment for regional communities being below that of metropolitan. So only 3.8% unemployment in regional Australia. So really jobs and lifestyle driving people to those locations. If I think about the winners and the losers, I suppose, The net exporter of that migration trend are really the capital cities of Sydney and Melbourne. Mm. And the beneficiaries, Queensland, are very much at the top of the list in terms of beneficiaries. But also we're seeing increasingly a rate of migration towards South Australia. So a significant shift to the Sunshine State. And then if I dig one level deeper and say, well, where within Queensland are those people moving to? At the top of the list, probably no surprise, Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast making up a meaningful sort of 16% of the net migration across the country.
Right.
But then if I think about centres like Cairns, Townsville, also very significant net beneficiaries. So, you know, 1 in 50 Australians who are moving to the regions are moving to Cairns at this point in time. But it is much more broad-based across all Queensland regional communities.
Well, that is very heartening, because there was concern that, obviously, as you said, the Gold Coast and the Sunny Coast and also regional cities within, you know, 2 to 3 hours of Melbourne and Sydney were always going to benefit, because, you know, it's a bit of a car trip, but certainly it's within driving distance of capitals if people needed to be there for work or whatever. Whereas, you know, here in North Queensland, we're obviously a couple of thousand kilometres away from Brisbane, from the nearest capital city. So it was always a challenge for a place like ours to be able to draw these people out of those capital cities. So that's really, really heartening. What are people, do we have any, and maybe this is more the Regional Australia Institute, do we have any intel on, you know, why people are making that move? What is drawing them to certain areas? I mean, obviously you mentioned their jobs is a big part of it. Any other factors that we're aware of that cities, the ingredients that a city can have to be really able to draw those people in?
Yeah, look, it's as you say, jobs is front and centre in terms of really wonderful employment opportunities across the country, and much more flexible workplace practices where, you know, some folks who have traditionally been tied to the city, or suburbs that have been tied to the city for their chosen career or profession, are now finding the opportunity to work flexibly from regional communities and perhaps still work for some city-based organisations. But more broadly, you know, we're passionate about agriculture within the CommBank, and it's been an incredible year for our farmers across the country in terms of both very high commodity prices and yields from the recent harvest. And so those really buoyant agricultural conditions are seeing opportunities for those farmers to reinvest in their businesses and, as a byproduct, reinvest in their communities. And I think that's having a trickle-across effect for a number of more inland regional centres. And the last thing I'd say is that, you know, tourism, obviously the last 2 years has been an incredibly challenging time for the tourism sector. The latest data I've seen from the Tourism Research Australia organisation shows us almost back to pre-pandemic levels. And obviously with opening of both domestic and international borders, we think the economic benefits associated with tourism will continue to fuel that trend into regional communities going forward.
Well, tourism and agriculture, of course, two of our biggest industries here across the north. So that's very, very exciting. Looking forward indeed. I'm speaking here with Paul Fowler. Paul is with the Commonwealth Bank. He's Executive General Manager for Regional and Agribusiness Banking. Now, finally, Paul, with you're also a council member there, Regional Australia Council member. So with that hat on, knowing that this growth is happening, as you said, a doubling in that regional migration over the last, 12 months to 2 years. What do governments now need to do, knowing that growth? Because that's always a big gripe. Certainly, you know, listeners have emailed me when I've banged on about population growth. You know, well, we don't want to spoil what we've got. You know, we don't want to ruin paradise. What do governments need to do in terms of that infrastructure work? You know, we've got to make sure that these regional cities, if we're experiencing some really good growth, no matter where they are in regional Australia, we've got to make sure that infrastructure is keeping up.
Yeah, absolutely, Gavin. One of the key drivers for why we launched this, the publication of this index with the Regional Australia Institute, was the power of the data and the way that may be able to shape both public and private sector in terms of investment in infrastructure across the country. Understanding the trends and how that may roll forward provides government and private sector to really think about the opportunity to make sure we've got the right housing infrastructure, the right physical infrastructure, and the right social infrastructure to be able to support growth in communities. We know that particularly in some of our smaller centres in inland regional Australia, just small changes in terms of the pace of net migration can really put a strain on the infrastructure that exists there. And so having this data, being able to share it openly and broadly, really allows us to be on the front foot in engaging with government, engaging with private sector to ensure we're investing for a very sustainable and bright future.
And it's almost a virtuous circle. The better the infrastructure and more infrastructure that's built, the more attractive it becomes for people as well. So it creates a fantastic virtuous circle. Paul Fowler from Commonwealth Bank, brilliant stuff. Thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Thanks for having me, Gavin.